Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you've just joined us, you are tuned to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, listeners, what a wonderful, lovely morning we have today again. And today we commence with our regular Monday morning focus slot, The Ideal Muslimah. And what we will do today is continue with A Muslim Woman is Generous. And I will be continuing sharing with you examples of Muslim women and their generosity. Today we'll be looking at the examples of generosity of women of the likes of Zainab bin Jash radiallahu anha, that is a wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sakina bin al-Husayn, Atika bin Yazid ibn Muawiyah, Umm al-Banin, who is the sister of Umar ibn Abdulaziz, and Zubaydah, the wife of Khalifa Harun al-Rashid, rahmatullahi alayh. So we'll be looking at a few of those examples, inshallah, in our slot, Monday morning focus slot. We're going to look at their generosity. Just a few examples, inshallah. That will be followed by our following, the next interview rather. And this time I'll be speaking to Sister Jamila Muhammad, who is a social worker. I'm sure you are familiar with her. She has been on our program before. And today, inshallah, we'll be talking about child abuse and neglect. Something that's very common in many of our societies and throughout the world. We'll be talking about what child abuse is, the different types of abuse, what neglect actually means, child neglect means, and we'll be looking at major factors that influence child abuse and neglect. Also, what to do when a child is abused. So we'll be getting lots of information with regards to that. Also, a reminder to our listeners that our lines will be open, so if you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to contact us. The number to dial 011-854-1548. And yes, you can also SMS us on the number 082-84-92-786. And that will be all about child abuse and neglect. You can remain anonymous, of course, but please, if you do have this program is especially for you out there. So if you do have any concerns, make use of this time that you have with us and ask your questions. Right, so we're going back to the Monday morning focus, and it's the Ideal Muslimah. Right, alhamdulillah. And like I said, I'm going to be sharing some example of, great women, Muslim women, and their generosity. Now, the last time I did talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wife, Zainab bin Jash. She used to work with her own hands, and she used to give charity from her earnings. And she was the most generous of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives in giving freely and doing good deeds. According to a hadith narrated by Imam Muslim from Aisha radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his wives about Zainab radiallahu anha. He said, "The first of you to join me after death will be the one who has the longest hands." And when he said that, all his wives started measuring their hands to see who had the longest hands. And the one, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who had the longest hands of all of us was Zainab, because at least that is what Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu anha said, because she used to work with her hands and she used to give charity from her earnings. Now, another example with regard to Zainab radhiyallahu anha is that Umar radhiyallahu anhu used to send Zainab radhiyallahu anha her annual salary, and when it was brought to her, she would say, "May Allah forgive Umar radiallahu anha, forgive him. Others of my sisters are more capable of sharing this out than I am." And they told her, "This is all for you." And she would say, "No, subhanallah, pour it out into a tray and cover it with a cloth." Then she would tell Barzah bin Rafi, the narrator of the report, that, "Put your hand in and take a handful of it and take it to so-and-so, Bani so-and-so, and Bani so-and-so, who were all orphans and who were related to her." So all her earnings used to be given away. this was repeated until there was, of course, only a little left under the cloth. And when Barzah bin Rafi said to Zainab radiallahu anha, may Allah forgive you, O mother of the believers, by Allah, it is our right to have some. You know, we should also have some. Zainab radiallahu anha said, what is left under the cloth is for you. So take what is under the cloth that is left for you. And then he would say, you know, you would only find about 85 dirhams under the cloth. And Zainab radiallahu anha would then say, oh Allah, do not let me live to receive another payment like this from Umar. And she actually died before the time of the next payment. So that was the type of person, you know, they didn't want to hoard anything with them. They would, whatever money they had, whatever they had to be given away before the end of the day. So that, you know, and I think the whole idea was, you know, I didn't want to die knowing that I had something left in my home. Another hadith, just to reiterate this one, is that Ibn Sa'd reported that when the money was brought to Zainab radiallahu anha, she started saying, oh Allah, do not let me see this money again next year, for it is a fitna, it is a temptation. Then she shared it out among her relatives and those who were in need until it was all gone. Umar radiallahu anha, when he heard about this, he said, this woman is destined for good. He stood at her door and conveyed his salam to her, and he said, I have heard about what you have gone, you know, what you have gave out to the others. And he then sent her 1,000 dirhams to keep for herself. But again, she did the same thing with that money and did not even keep a single dirham or dinar for herself. You know, whatever she had given away. That was the type of generosity that these women of that time had, alhamdulillah. And remember, she was the wife of one of the wives of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, among the women to whose generosity history bears witness is Sakina bin al-Husayn, that is the granddaughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who would give generously of whatever she had. If she had no money, she would take off her own jewelry and give it to those who were in destitute. Then another example is that of Atika bin Yazid ibn Muawiyah. She gave up all her money to the poor members of Abu Sufyan's family. So whatever she had, she gave away. Nobody in that time, they just didn't want anything with them in this world. And yet we are absolutely the opposite, you know. We, unfortunately, that we, I'm guilty of it too. We all are. We'd rather hoard some of our money and keep it for a rainy day. These people never did that. They used to give away every bit of what they had. Then Ummi al-Banin, who was the sister of Umar ibn Abdulaziz, was a marvelous example of generous giving. She said, everyone has a passion, and my passion is giving. She used to free slaves every week and equip horsemen to fight for the sake of Allah. And she would say, off to stinginess. If it were a shirt, I would not wear it. If it were a road, I would not follow it. And that's the type of person she was. She would give whatever she could give, she would give. She would, like she says, she would free slaves every week. And she would equip horsemen to fight for the sake of Allah, make sure they had everything they needed. Then the other example that we have here is that of Zubaydah, the wife of the Khalifa Harun al-Rashid. And she had a canal dug to bring water from springs and rain pools to Makkah to provide fresh water for the inhabitants of the city and also for the pilgrims. This was obviously named Ain Zubaydah, the spring of Zubaydah, and I'm sure many of our pilgrims have heard about it when they do go and visit Makkah or Medina, and was known as one of the wonders of the world at that time. When her treasurer objected to the high cost of this project, she told him, do it even if every single blow of the axe cost a dinar. So she was so determined to have it done that she said, even if we have to pay you for every axe, you know, every blow, single blow that the axe, you know, has to perform, then even if it costs a dinar for every act, so every blow, in other words, you know, you continue doing this. Well, so that's just a few examples of the type of, you know, the generosity that these women had in that time. So examples for us to try. Obviously, we cannot do what they did, but we can try. Try and be generous. Try and give as much as we possibly can. I know the month of Ramadan is coming, and we normally, alhamdulillah, do a lot of giving during this month. But this is something that we need to do regularly, all the time, not only in at specific times of the year. We should be doing it all the time, alhamdulillah. Now, if we were to discuss all the women in our history who were pioneers of generous giving, we could fill, I guess, entire volumes. It is enough for us to know that these kinds of generous, charitable, believing women have never disappeared from Muslim societies. They still are there, alhamdulillah, from the dawn of Islam until the present day. I'm sure there's many women out there and that are actually giving so much of themselves, of their wealth, of whatever they have, of their possessions to the poor and the needy. In every era and in every region of the Islamic world, these women have held a noble and prominent position, and their generosity is enshrined in the many of charitable institutions, schools, mosques, hospitals, and so forth, that exist throughout the Muslim lands. These women sought out areas of need, poverty, deprivation, and misery, and showered their generosity on the less fortunate by establishing charitable institutions that would benefit the Muslims. Alhamdulillah. You know, we have them until this day. So, shukr, alhamdulillah, for those women, but this is something that we need to continue doing as Muslim women. These women, they wiped away the tears of the orphan, they relieved the suffering of the wretched, they eased the hardship of the afflicted, and they clothed the body of the naked. Alhamdulillah. The Muslim woman who truly understands the teaching of her religion never looks down upon any charitable deed, no matter how small it may be, and she, alhamdulillah, strives to do as much as she's able to, firm in a conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward her good deeds, no matter how small, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always reminds us in the Holy Quran, in chapter 2, verse 286, on no soul does Allah place a burden greater than it can bear. So if we have, you know, if we think about this ayat of the Quran, Allah will make our life so easy for us, and you know, it will make us do so much in this world, knowing that Allah is there to stand by us and to reward us for all the good that we do. The Muslim woman also responds to these words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he says, "Protect yourselves from the fire, even if it is with a half date." So just give as much as you can, inshallah. He said, "O Aisha, protect yourself from the fire, even if it is only with a half date, for it can benefit a hungry person as much as one who has enough of it to eat." So remember, even, you know, really think of it, even if you just have a half a date and you give it to somebody that you know that is in need, then give it. So we should never actually say that we don't have it. I know we do it all the time when we see people coming and they come at the wrong time and we're busy with our work and we'll end up saying, "Oh, you know what, can you come next time? We don't have anything." I mean, which home, alhamdulillah, there are obviously those that are very, very in need of. But shukr, you know, we are so fortunate that we have so much in our homes. So how can we say, and this comes, you know, this is for myself, this is something I have to learn too, because even I do it sometimes. Even I'm busy and somebody comes to the door and we're very busy and we'll say, "Oh, please, can you come another time? I'm quite busy, or I don't have anything right now to give you." How can we not have anything? You know, this is a lesson for me first. and then a lesson for everybody out there. How can we say we don't have anything when we have our homes filled with food and you name it, we have so much. Even if it's a half debt, we need to give it to somebody. I know it's difficult. I know there's going to be people that will say, you know, how can we trust these people that come and ask all the time? You don't need to open your door and let them into your home, but you can give, even if it's a half debt. A person that is really in need of will appreciate what you have given them. Alhamdulillah. The Muslim women may give charity. Now listen to this. They say that the Muslim woman may give charity with whatever she possesses of the food that she has at home or her husband's money, so long as he is happy for her to do so. So even if it's her husband's money, but he knows about it, you know, I think it's important for us to do to tell our husbands, he needs to be happy about it too. So don't give it away if he's not happy about it. But you can actually give from your husband's money. And I don't think there's a husband in this world that would actually, maybe there is, I'm not quite sure, but I don't think there are really such bad men out there that wouldn't be happy if their wives have actually given something in charity from theirs. Now, in this case, she will be rewarded for what she spends. Her husband will be rewarded. I think this is important for us to remind our husbands about, for what he has earned. And also the treasurer will be rewarded, as is stated in a number of hadith narrated by Bukhari, Muslim and others. And an example of this is, if a woman gives in charity of the food of her house, according to a report given by Muslim, of the house of her husband, without spending in such a way as could cause ruin to her husband, then she will be rewarded for what he earns, and the treasurer will be similarly rewarded, and the reward of any of them will not detract from the reward of another. So remember, it's not only you that will be rewarded by giving from your husband's money, but also he will be rewarded, and also the treasurer will be rewarded. So, and everybody will be equally rewarded for that. So I think it's important for us to remind our husbands about this. If we have husbands that, you know, really maybe object to this, but I don't really think there are Muslim men out there that would really object to this. They actually would be happy knowing full well that they too will be getting the blessings, the sawab, for what has happened, for the woman giving from her home and from his money. Alhamdulillah. Well, that's why I stopped today. Inshallah, I will continue with this topic on generosity, inshallah, in our next program. But we're going to take a break now, and when we return, we're going to be speaking to Sister Jamila Mohammed, who is a social worker, and today we're talking about another very important topic, and that's all about child abuse and neglect. So stay with us, we'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Socially Speaking. Well, millions of children around the world are in danger of abuse, neglect, exploitation and violence at home, in school, in the community, or during unforeseen emergencies. All children should be safe, or should be kept safe from harm. Now, despite our sophisticated legal framework, South Africa is still marked by high levels of violence against and exploitation of children. Recorded levels do not accurately reflect the full extent of the problem because many cases go unreported. Violence has long-lasting consequences for children, with strong evidence of a link between childhood violence and adult mental health disorders and substance abuse. While all children in South Africa deserve to thrive in a safe environment, free from violence, abuse, neglect, and exploitation. Joining me this morning is Sister Jamila Mohammed. I'm a social worker, and today we're talking about child abuse and neglect. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Jamila. Jazakallahu khair for joining me this morning.
Wa alaikum salam. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, thank you so much. We really appreciate you coming on short notice. But Jazakallahu khair. Now, we want to talk about child abuse and child neglect. And I think, very simply, what is child abuse?
Okay. Child abuse is any purposeful, the word purposeful is very important, child abuse is any purposeful action or failure to in an act that results in the physical, mental, or emotional injury of a child. Child abuse is more than physical scars and broken bones. It includes emotional abuse, child neglect, sexual abuse, abandonment, and exploitation.
Okay. And now we mentioned some of the what exactly child abuse is. But can you go into some of the different types of abuse?
Okay. The abuse that people are most accustomed to is the physical abuse, because that abuse is most visible. Okay, it includes physical harm to the child, slapping a child, using a belt, the physical abuse, so you can see the marks, you can see the scars, and often when you look at a child that has been physical abused, sometimes you look at these injuries and you would, you know, the unexplained injuries, or you will find a child that's very tense, very anxious, shies away from other people. The child would wear inappropriate clothing just to hide those marks. So that is mainly physical abuse. Then you get emotional abuse. Emotional abuse can severely damage a child's mental health and the social development, leaving lifelong psychological scars. For example, when you keep abusing a child emotionally, you would say to the child, "You're stupid, you're ugly, you're slow, you're not good enough." That is all emotional abuse. Or you make negative comparisons to others. "Oh, my other daughters, they're wonderful, but you're just not good enough." That is also emotional abuse. Telling a child that he's worthless, "You're bad, you're stupid, it's a mistake, I wish I never had you, I wish you were never born." Frequent yelling or threatening a child, "I'm going to phone everybody. I'm going to call the police. I'm going to abuse you. I'm going to do..." That is emotional abuse. You keep abusing the child. Or ignoring a child. The child will talk to the mother and the mother just walks out of the room. And you reject the child. Rejecting is also emotional abuse. Limited physical contact with a child. You don't hug the child, you don't kiss the child, you don't hold your child. It's almost like the child is just there, but you ignore the child. That also is emotional abuse. Then the third abuse is sexual abuse. This is one of the most dangerous forms of abuse, because there's layers and layers of guilt around and shame around the abuse, and very often this abuse is not easily detected or reported. The shame of sexual abuse makes it very, very difficult for families to come forward and to lay a charge. Warning signs of sexual abuse: a child's unwillingness to change. The child doesn't want to change his clothes. He doesn't want to go into the bathroom. He's scared. He's scared to remove that protection from him. Or the child would have poor peer relationships. He doesn't want to play with his friends anymore. Learning difficulties: that child start doing badly in school. His marks start deteriorating. In some cases, the child will even attempt suicide. And the child will withdraw from people. The child starts isolating himself, staying in his room. Then you know that there is some kind of sexual behavior going on. Sexual abuse, sorry. So yes, the three main core major things is physical, emotional, and sexual abuse.
Okay. This is one very important question that I'd like to ask you, and I'm sure many people, you know, when we look at children, we think of little children, but under what age is a person considered a child, still a child under child abuse and neglect laws in South Africa?
Okay, a child is considered a child up to the age of 18.
Mm-hmm. So anything that any of these things that happen to a child, or any of these abuses that happen, if the child is still 18 and under 18, so that child is until 18 still regarded as a child.
That's correct.
Okay, that's interesting because, you know, like I said earlier, when we talk about child abuse, we only think of the little children, maybe until 10, 11. We don't think about the teenage years. Mm. And I think so much actually can actually also happen during those that period of a child.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so now we're talking about abuse here, but what is child neglect?
Okay, child neglect is when you fail to provide for the child's basic needs, like you neglect the child, you don't give the child sufficient food. The child is hungry. The child doesn't get lunch every day. The child goes to school hungry. Or the child doesn't have adequate clothing. It's winter and the child is wearing a t-shirt. Education. The child at an early age is not sent to school regularly. Or the mother will say, I don't have money for transport, so I didn't send my child to school. The child doesn't get medical attention. The child hurt herself. The child burns, but the child isn't taken to the doctor. Environment conditions, the child is exposed to very dangerous environmental conditions. Sometimes a parent might become physically or mentally unable to care for the child. And in many cases, because of that, the child is neglected. The mother doesn't have the mental ability or the physical ability to care for that child. You may find that the mother may be very ill, and she just can't care for the child. In other cases, the parent may be using alcohol or drugs. And this is also very dangerous because the child comes home, the mother is drunk, there's no food, the father is abusing drugs, there's fighting at home, there's no money, there's all kinds of things going on. And this is very dangerous when parents are fighting with each other and they physically or emotionally abusing each other, the child tends to become withdrawn. The child witnesses this whole thing. The child becomes scared. The child actually loves both parents, but suddenly there is so much tension and fear that this child is emotionally abused in this case and neglected. I very often recommend that if parents are at a stage where they cannot understand each other, if they, you know, have a lot of conflict in the relationship, I would strongly suggest that they actually go for counseling, that they engage in mediation, that they go for parenting planning, and they discuss their problems, they discuss their needs, where necessary, let the children come in. I know that at times it's very difficult. You may have a physically challenged child, or you may have a child that has ADHD, that is a child with attention deficit. In that case, the mother or father is pushed to the limit, and you find that you cannot control these cases. The mother may be working, she's tired, she comes home, here's a child that demands attention, that's hyperactive, and she becomes very, very angry, she becomes physically abusive. And I think that is where parents need the assistance of maybe a psychologist, family members, a social worker. I think phone, make an appointment, and discuss what is going on. Let you rather receive help and mediation before you actually accuse of abusing the child.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so very important that what you've mentioned, because I think many a times parents don't realize, you know, when they do have problems between the two of them, they don't realize that, you know, what, how it impacts on that particular child or the children for that matter in the home. Mm-hmm. So what you mentioned is definitely very important. Mm-hmm. Also another thing that I would like to quickly ask you before we take the break is, how do one determine if physical discipline is considered child abuse? Because you know, many a times, like you mentioned earlier, children do aggravate you sometimes, you know, they can also step on your toes all the time, and you try not to get angry with them, mm-hmm. and you end up slipping them or giving them a slap or perhaps just doing something that may actually hurt them. So you know, where's the line? Where do you stop?
You're not allowed to physically abuse a child, irrespective of the situation. You do not physically abuse a child. And I know this is very, very difficult because sometimes they push you beyond your limit. And I often say to people that come to me for counseling, when that happens, sit down. Before you're going to do anything, just sit down, take 3 deep breaths, drink some water, and relax. Think before you're going to act, because you are, before you actually take the belt or physically hurt that child, stop. Think before you do anything. And I think that's very important. Likewise, in school, we do not allow corporal punishment. Teachers are not allowed to abuse children. We don't allow bullying. These things are looked at very seriously. Children need to be protected and cared for, not abused.
Yes, unfortunately, you know, when we see children doing wrong things these days, and I think one of the comments that parents always would make is, you know, in our time, a smack or a good hiding would have sorted the child out. Unfortunately, it doesn't work this way
anymore. And that is when parents that are divorcing each other, I think it's very important to remember that parents are divorcing each other. You're not divorcing your children. And children should not be exposed to all kinds of physical abuse, father pushing the child away or the mother away, the father physically abusing the child. What happens to the child? The child is watching. The child is listening. This child is a victim of emotional abuse. The child goes to school, cannot focus on the schoolwork, can't listen to the teacher because the child is thinking of their poor mother at home that has been bleeding, that is crying. I think that all these things, if you are divorcing each other, come to a social worker, ask for a parenting plan, sit down, respect the rights of your children. You cannot abuse your children, irrespective of what the situation is. And I'm sure that things can be worked out, but you don't have to get to the extent that the children will hear, your father is useless, your father is not even prepared to pay maintenance, your father does this, and your mother can't even cook, your grandmother, you know, your child doesn't have to listen to that. The child does not, you know, have to be protected. And as I've said previously, children are not divorcing their parents. So you need to bring the parents together, and they have to come to some sort of agreement when it comes to the children.
Mm-hmm. Also, using one child against the child against the parent, I think that's also some kind of abuse.
That's right. That's emotional abuse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're going to take a very short break. When we return, inshallah, we continue with our program. A reminder to our listeners, I know this is a very sensitive topic, but if you do have any questions or concerns, please do feel free to contact us. The number to dial 011-854-1548. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat, and I'm talking to Sister Jamila Muhammad, a social worker, and we're talking about child abuse and neglect. Very, very important topic of discussion. Sister Jamila, or just once again a reminder to our listeners, if you have any questions or concerns, please, we have a few more minutes. Please call us, the number to dial 011-854-1548, and the SMS number is 082-84-92786. Okay, we have a question that's come in. It says, Assalamu alaikum. I'd like to know, my husband suffers from, okay, it says, I'd like to know what to do. Not sure if it's emotional abuse. My son is in grade R and has difficulty concentrating, but his Afa referred to him as slow and she doesn't bother much with him. Yeah, that's another question all on its own. Sister Jamila? Hello? Would you like to
respond? The line is very not clear.
Oh, okay. Can I just repeat that?
I got the fact that the child is in grade R, mm-hmm. and...
The child is referred to as slow and that she the teacher doesn't bother much with the child.
Okay.
And wants to know if this is referred to as or can be classified as emotional abuse.
Well, if the child is a slow learner and if the child is, you know, physically challenged or mentally challenged, and if the parents are unable to provide care for their child, that means if the child is not sent to a special school or if the child is not given adequate caring at that stage, and that is tantamount to abuse, or that will be neglect. But if the parents then ignore the child and, you know, don't take the child everywhere, don't take the child with them, leave the child unprotected, that becomes abuse.
Okay, but the teacher referring to the child, you know, as slow, does that also emotionally maybe affect the child? Can that?
If the teacher keeps... Hello?
Yes, I can hear you, Sister Jamila.
Okay, sorry, Kavi. If the teacher keeps telling the child that the child is slow, No, I think that that should not be happening. In a case like this, what needs to be done is the teacher should be mature enough to realize that this child has a special need, this child needs extra attention. The child should be referred to a psychologist so that the child can be tested, and the child, you know, together with the parents, the teacher can, there can be so many problems. Maybe the child has a physical problem, the child can't see properly, or the child can't hear properly, mm-hmm. or the child is not coping due to physical reasons. These things have to be investigated before the child can, the teacher can start saying that this is a slow learner. It has to be thoroughly investigated in the sense that all avenues have to be looked at, the physical and the psychological.
Okay. Jazakallah khair for that. Anyway, another question quickly before, I know we're almost running out of time, but what if I'm a direct witness to child abuse or if I suspect that the child is being abused, whether I'm maybe a friend or a neighbor or a family member, many a times a teacher, you know, teachers would sometimes notice this even before parents really notice it. You know, what is the procedure? How do you go about? Do you report this? How do you help the child?
Okay, look, you can contact the Department of Social Development in your area, right? So you can contact them in Johannesburg, and the number would be 374-1600. Or if you're undergoing, if you're having a divorce and there's a lot of conflict in the home, the parents are becoming abusive towards each other and they want to sit down and have mediation, you can contact me at 082-414-6865. Likewise, you can contact Johannesburg Child Welfare Society. Their number is 011-298-8500. If this child is being physically abused, I mean really and sexually abused, I think you should immediately contact any police station that is nearest to you, because there are certain procedures. They would have to take the child to the district surgeon, they would have to open up a case, and you know, you cannot let sexual abuse go by. Then you get the Johannesburg Parent and Child Counseling Center. Their number is 011-484-1374. You also can contact Childline, 011-645-2000.
Okay, can you just give me that number again?
And of course, we have just in the Lanetia area, That is the Johannesburg Institute of Social Development, and their telephone number is 837-4151. I know the Lanesha number is 852. Oh, look, I just can't remember that number offhand, but if you could please assist your listeners. But as I said earlier, child abuse cannot go unnoticed. As soon as you, even if you notice, it, observe that your neighbor's child is being abused, or this child doesn't go to school, or this child is poorly dressed, or there isn't enough food, you have a responsibility as an adult to do something about it. You need to firstly approach the family. Find out if they need help. They may not be deliberately neglecting the family. They may be a case of poverty, or the mother may be mentally unstable. Try and assist. Where you cannot, you, where the parents are deliberately doing it, then you need to take it further and report it immediately to an organization.
Okay. Just before you go, Sister Jamila, the child line number, quickly. The child line number.
The child line is 645-2000.
Okay. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of the program, but Jazakallah khair so much for all this information. I'm sure it will be of great value and benefit for our listeners out there. Once again, Jazakallah khair, and we hope to speak to you soon again, inshallah. Hey, that was Sister Jamila Mohammed, who is a social worker, and she's been, we'll be talking about child abuse and neglect. Remember, all those numbers that I have with me are with me. You just have to call in. I will be giving it to Sister Faiza to, you know, share it with you if you need it. Well, listeners, that's it then from me. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.